This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, let's see now. Democrats all parrot each other. It's amazing how they do this, isn't it? Just parrot each other and say the exact same things over and over and over and over again. It really is remarkable. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Thanks for joining us today. We are streaming live on YouTube, of course, as we do all the time. We're always streaming live on YouTube, even when we have our videos taken down for copyright infringement issues. But they always go right back up, so don't you worry about that. And we're grateful that you're here. Susan Crabtree from Real Clear Politics should be joining us in a few moments. As we wait for Susan, I just want to mention the point that Stephen A. Smith makes about Trump winning and having a mandate and a landslide, something Democrats just can't grasp, can't figure out. Politics is a game of numbers. It always has been. Politics is a game of numbers. If you have the numbers, you win. If you don't have the numbers, you don't win. You just don't win. That's the bottom line. If you have the numbers, if you have the votes, you can achieve victory. The Democrats didn't have that. And wait till a little bit later in the show when I play for you an exchange between two failed losers, Steve Schmidt and Chuck Todd, going on about Joe Biden and how Joe Biden managed to screw everything up. And Joe Biden is not the faithful family man, self-sacrificing soul that everybody made him out to be and blah, blah, blah. And the only thing I keep hearing when I listen to this is you guys made this mythical Joe Biden. You created this. You created this. I told you for years who Joe Biden really was. He was a corrupt SOB. There's no way you spend your entire life in government making $1.50 a year. I'm not saying it's not good money, but I mean, let's be honest. To become a multimillionaire making $1.50 a year. Come on. Stop already. So we know that he was a corrupt SOB. And yeah, he was always about Joe Biden, always has been about Joe Biden. But this exchange between these two is amazing. And then my favorite audio clip of the day today, all the Democrats swiping at Musk and Doge and literally saying the same thing over and over again. And there's a mashup of all the Democrats saying the same stuff at the same time. There's a brilliant mashup that was put together. Really great stuff and irritating. So I'm going to warn you, because if you're driving or you have cats or children, it's going to make your ears hurt tremendously. But nevertheless, you've got to hear this, because I have this theory I've had for a long time, which is that the Democrats, somebody, I don't know, the wizard, somebody behind the curtain, puts together all their talking points and distributes them out to the media and to all the Democratic officials. And then they all go out and repeat themselves and say the same things over and over again. And they do this. And then when you hear it, you go, aha, I knew it. I knew it. So that's great evidence of that. So we're gonna play that for you as we wait for our buddy Susan. Susan's not there yet, is she, Justin?
No, you're working on getting her, right? I've left the voicemail.
Okay,
so
no problem. So in the meantime, let's play that, shall we? Let's play that little montage of Democrats. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to get to see all their faces put together. If not, just bear with me. I'm not going to play the whole thing for you because it's painful, like I said, to listen to. But imagine 22 different United States senators, including Chuck Schumer, Count Grantstangelis, Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, and on it goes. All of them saying the same things at the same time, one after another, over and over again. All right. Just imagine this now. And as you hear this and you listen to this, you say to yourself, oh, my God, how is this possible? Warning, you're not going to like the sound of this. But nevertheless, it's essential that you hear it and see it. Cut number 11.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
That ain't true. That's what you just heard. Since day one of Donald Trump's presidency, prices are not down. They're up. Inflation is getting worse. The price of gross gas, eggs, housing, essentials, is not getting better. It's getting worse. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has done nothing to lower prices. Instead, he's pardoned violence.
Now let's stop it right there because it's painful. Painful to listen to, but essential nonetheless. They're literally all saying the exact same thing at the exact same time. But a couple second delay here and there. Like America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, puts in a little bit more emphasis here and there. You know what I mean? But they're all saying the same thing at the same time. How does that happen? And why does that happen? Because ears. You know the expression, like, that makes my ears bleed? First of all, I don't know if that really is a thing. But in this case, this definitely makes your ears bleed. But these are people that are not looking for cooperation. They're not looking for bipartisanship. They're looking to just go out there and trash the president one after the other after the other. Now, that was just a few of them. Want to hear the one with all 22 Democrat senators saying the same thing at the same time? I'm going to warn you again, this is even worse. This is even more painful to listen to. And I'm sorry, as a man who takes pride in putting together a four-hour program, 5 days, many weeks, it's five days a week. I don't like sharing things that are not pleasing to the ears. You know, I'm not necessarily an audiophile, but I do like things that are pleasing to the ears. 22 Democrat senators all saying the exact same thing at the same time is certainly not pleasing to your ears. But nevertheless, this is a moment of education for the American people to understand exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to the Democrats having literally the same negative message about the president of the United States. And none of them are able to think for themselves. There's not one layer of this that is creative, that is different from a talking point of the others. It'd be one thing if you were like, okay, here's 22 senators saying kind of the same thing, saying like echoing each other. They're literally saying the exact same thing at the exact same time. You've been warned. Here we go.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Okay, stop it. I can't take it. I can't take it. It's like 4 seconds. I can't take it. 22 senators, all Democrats, all saying the exact same thing at the exact same time. Okay, I mean, at least give me something creative. Come on, please. At least give me something that's a little bit unique. Tell a dirty joke. Give me a take my wife, please. A little Henny Youngman. Something in there. Something. But no, nothing. Just all the same. So then here's another little educational moment for you. Okay? This is Stephen A. Smith schooling the ladies on The View about Trump's mandate. Now, Stephen A. Smith is a smart guy, and he gets the joke. He may not be invited back on The View ever again, but that's okay. See, the president was elected with a mandate of the American people. Many of them were black. I know this is hard for a lot of Democrats to process. There were a lot of black people in this country that voted for the president. There were a lot of Latino people that voted for the president. In other words, it wasn't just a bunch of angry old white guys, despite the fact that the Democrats keep telling us. In fact, Trump also won suburban women. He won in just about every demographic. In Philadelphia, he improved his standing among black voters better than any Republican ever has. The same thing across the country in terms of Republicans with black voters. But that doesn't go with the narrative now, does it? That he's just a guy that just goes, I mean, the only people that vote for him are just angry old white dudes that go to Cabela's and buy fishing hats and then get spied on and tracked by their government. Here's Stephen A. Smith, cut 18.
It's only been in office for 6 weeks. Seems like 6 years, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been going around with his cronies touting his so-called landslide and blowout win. But he won the popular vote by 1.5%, mm-hmm. one of the smallest ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the general election by less than 50%. So what kind of mandate is this really?
Well, it is a mandate, and I'm going to explain why. And I don't mind the question, but let me be very clear. I'm no supporter of Trump. I'm a supporter of truth and the facts. And here's the facts. The man won every swing state. He increased in terms of his voter turnout in his favor from the standpoint of blacks, Latinos, and young voters. He increased his numbers in that regard from 2020. 89% of the counties shifted to the right. That's a mandate. We can sit up there and play around all we want to. In 2020, Trump didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win the Electoral College vote. A matter of fact, the Republicans hadn't won the popular vote, if I remember correctly, since 2004. Yeah. But they did this year. So 20 years after they last won the popular vote, they won the popular vote. They won the Electoral College vote. The man won every swing state. And on top of it, 89% of the counties shifted against. I don't understand how people can look at that and say, there's no mandate. There's a mandate.
What's a different definition of a mandate, I guess?
But the problem is that if you're the Democratic Party and you lost 49.8% to 48.3% and you're looking at that 1.5% dip, that's an excuse for you to say, what we did really wasn't that bad.
Well, some people didn't
we should continue
up.
To do that.
Do
no,
that those,
don't continue
those,
to do that. Find a new strategy.
I'm a supporter of the truth. I'm a supporter of the truth, says Stephen A. Smith. Hey, aren't we all supporters of the truth? Damn right we are. I mean, you know, the guy won every swing state. It's kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal that he improved his standing among every single demographic in the country. It's kind of a minor point. It's actually a major point. You get my point. So now knowing that, going into tonight, Democrats are trying to figure out how things could have gone so possibly wrong for them. How could they have wound up in this horrible position that they're in? So for that, let's do a little analysis, shall we? Of two of the biggest losers in all of politics. One is a guy named Chuck Todd. He used to host Meet the Press, and he hosted Meet the Press weekly, daily. I think it was a show at one point called Meet the Press Every 5 Minutes. And then he was the host of the Chuck Todd Cast, the Chuck Todd Podcast, the Chuck Cast, whatever it was called, whatever it was called. And then this other loser named Steve Schmidt. Now, he was a guy who was a never-Trumper. He was a big-time never-Trumper, and he was also part of the whole Lincoln Project thing for a little while, but he exposes them as being grifters, and they all grifters, and the whole never-Trump movement really were a bunch of grifters. But these two guys are sitting here having this amazing conversation about the mythology of Joe Biden. You know, and as I'm listening to this, I kept thinking to myself, gee, where did this happen? How is it that all of this came about? This mythology of Joe Biden, who created this? Who pushed this anyway? Just out of curiosity. So take a listen to this, shall you? Cut 13.
It is time for them to move on from Schumer. But this is why I go back and say the Democratic Party's, you know, Joe Biden never should have been there in the first place. Right. Number one, he shouldn't have run for president. I completely got so angry at Joe Biden, the man, when I read the transcript of the Hunter Biden trial. And when I realized that not one, not two, but three Biden children, and I count Beau's widow, were all dealing with drug problems in 2018. And Joe Biden said, now's a perfect time to run for president because who cares about our family? I have to tell you something about Joe Biden. There's this mythology about Joe Biden that the man cared so much. It's all this man supposedly cared so
wait,
much.
Wait. Stop. Who created this mythology? I'm just out of curiosity. I know. Call on me. You did, Chuck Todd. You did. Guys like you did. The media did. You all created this mythology of Joe Biden being this family man. And during COVID, he was going to keep everybody safe from mean tweets and COVID by hiding in his basement. And he was just this ideal family man who put his family first. And who created that mythology? You did. You and your buddies in the media created this mythology. And you're all just mad because you lost. See, and doesn't it show you, too, all these years that Chuck Todd pretended like he was this down the road, middle of the guy hosting Meet the Press. And I told you that was a fugazi. He was a Democrat operative. His wife's a Democrat operative. And this guy was never objective, not for a second. They created this just like they created the mythology that Joe Biden was the best version of Joe Biden. And if you don't believe that, you can go F yourself. Remember when Chuck Scarborough said that? Or Joe Scarborough. And you remember the time that Jake Tapper shut down Laura Trump? We played you this clip several times because Laura Trump suggested that maybe Joe Biden has cognitive decline. And we were all told that that was a cheap fake, a deep fake, a right-wing conspiracy. See, the reason why I'm playing this is because for years I've been telling you Joe Biden is a crook. He is corrupt as hell. He's not a family man. He didn't ride the choo-choo train back and forth because he cared about his family. Joe Biden was never a good guy. That was the mythology of Joe Biden that was created, just like the mythology of Trump being a Russian asset was mythology created by people like, yes, exactly, Chuck Todd. Just a little bit more of this as the Democrats now whine. And yeah, I'm calling him a Democrat because he is a Democrat. He's not a real journalist. It was like Meet the Press was not hosted by somebody objective, just like George Stephanopoulos is not objective when he hosts his dumb show on Sunday mornings on ABC, part of ABC Disney China. These are people who are not objective, but they can't understand. They blame Joe Biden. They need somebody to blame. So now they want to tear Joe Biden down. I'm all for it. Have fun. Have at it. But you guys created him. Just like you created the myth, the lore, the illusion that somehow Joe Biden had it all together. And we all watched with our own eyes. Joe Biden did not have it together. Joe Biden was falling apart. Joe Biden had lost all his marbles. Joe Biden was out of his mind. All right, keep going.
Family that he commuted every day. I could guess what? This man cared so much about his political career that he commuted every day. Right? Like I could take the same fact, and we've created it, created a myth, and he did it for 40 years. God bless him, that he was this incredible family man. And instead, what he really was a craven political animal.
Oh, yeah.
That never, it was desperate. The man considered or ran for president every 4 years he was eligible. You know why he didn't run in 76? He wasn't 35 yet. That's the only reason.
I literally made a room gasp full of people. And I prefaced what I said that made them gasp with this. And I said, literally, I take a backseat to nobody in a country of 340 million people of my criticism of Donald Trump. Nobody. Right? And I don't think it's polemic criticism.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, the Never Trumper scam, you know what that was all about, right? These were Republicans that never wanted the war to end, any war to end, ever. And now they can't deal with the fact that tonight he may deliver peace. See, I will love this moment if it really happens tonight. If it really happens, if Dana Perino's prediction comes true, and also my prediction true, if that comes true, if that happens, you know the people that are going to be the most upset by this? The people that are going to be most upset by this are the Never Trumpers. Because they never wanted Donald Trump to be seen as the peacemaker because they never really wanted peace. Look, I got to be honest with you. A lot of Republicans were going down this road for a long time. They were the John McCain Republicans of the party. A lot of them were Bush people. They just never wanted the idea that they would have peace. And the idea that Trump could deliver it, that he could bring Zelensky and Putin to the table and actually have a peace deal. Imagine if we get that announcement tonight. Hot damn, I'll tell you what. Heads are going to explode. But will all those 22 Democrat senators who all said the same thing at the same time, will they stand up and cheer? Will they sit down? Will they stay seated? What will they do? I'm just curious. Inquiring minds want to know. Listen, spring is here. It's beautiful out, isn't it? I love this weather. It's great. I mean, sunshine. And are you thinking about your lawn yet? Maybe not, because it's cold. I get it. But before you know it, it's going to be full on spring. This is why you got to reach out to my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Natural Lawn of America. They do such a great job. I'm telling you, Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company, is a real deal. Because it's greener grass, it's fewer weeds, it's guaranteed, and it's safer for your lawn, safer for your kids, safer for your pets, safer across the board for everybody. Their safer organic approach to lawn care is customized to your lawn. My lawn's different than my neighbor's lawn. We may live next door to each other, but our lawns have different needs. A lot of these other lawn care companies, they go out there, they just spray. You ever notice that? It's like one guy comes out with a hose, he's just spraying the lawn, moves on to the next house, just spray. That's not what Natural Lawn of America does. They take the time to assess the needs of your lawn, come up with a customized treatment plan for that lawn. Here's the best part. I haven't even got to that yet. Every year, Natural Lawn of America will seed your lawn for free. That's right, for free. I'm talking about free. Just by calling 1-800-FREE-SEED and signing up for their full program. You'll love it. That overseeding every year, makes such a difference in the health of your lawn. So if you want greener grass, if you want fewer weeds, if you want it guaranteed, if you want it safer for your kids and for your pets, if you want to be the envy of the neighborhood, and who doesn't, am I right? Then reach out to Natural Lawn of America by calling 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now, are we going to get those Epstein files or what, huh? Are we going to get them? We're going to get them or what? A truckload of Epstein files. That's what the Attorney General Pam Bondi says. That excites me very, very much. It really does. The idea is that it excites me because I want to get the truth. I love the truth. Don't you love the truth? Who doesn't love the truth? That's the question. I mean, if we really have a lot of stuff on Epstein and people that were at Epstein Island, Pedophile Island, then I want the truth. Now, you know, I saw somebody posting some nonsense about why certain conservative talk show hosts were not more critical of Pam Bondi and Kash Patel. And I think the answer that I gave was because we said, let's just see how this goes. It was last week the attorney general came out and said she had all this stuff on her desk. Then we didn't get anything. And I said, it's very strange. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, though, because I like Pam Bondi. I like Kash Patel. I'm going to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. It's too early to start eating our own here. But I said, but it's strange. Like, I mean, you come out, you say you got all this stuff, so then you got to deliver. You know, you can't promise, give me a tease like that and then not come through. You got to give me, you know what I mean? You excite me and tell me that I'm going to get some Epstein files. I got to get me some Epstein files. But she said there was a big cover-up that people within the SDNY and other places were hiding them. I get it, because I understand. We know the deep state's real. We know that there are bureaucrats who are actively working to prevent the truth from coming out, and I can tell you the reason exactly why. I think what we're going to find out is that Epstein was an asset. He was an asset of the national security state. That's it. Bottom line. Jeffrey Epstein was being used by the intelligence community to blackmail very high-level people into doing our bidding, international people. And he may have been working with other countries, too, in addition to the United States of America. I'm not going to speculate. I'm just simply saying I think that when the truth comes out, that's what we're going to find out. And the best way that I know that is because when they raided Jeffrey Epstein's apartment and they were in there and they had that safe and they saw inside, there were all these pictures, there were all these CDs, there were all these other things. And then they did what? They did nothing. They left. They go, oh, well, the warrant doesn't cover the contents of the safe. And they said, well, and they didn't call a judge. There's always a judge standing by. Although you could argue, based on my limited knowledge of constitutional law, which, again, is very limited, and I'm not a lawyer, that if you see things that are evidence of a crime in plain sight when you have a warrant, you could probably grab those and then kind of fight out the procedural stuff later. But I think you'd probably be on the side it's okay. You know, it's like pulling somebody over and then you look in the back seat and there's a dead body. It's like, yeah, I didn't have a warrant, but kind of probable cause here. I have reason to believe there's a dead body in the back of the car. What makes you say that? Well, the dead body in the back of the car makes me say that. So you wouldn't just leave the car and go, well, you know what? I don't have a warrant. So they had all they saw in plain sight all these pictures of kids. And that is evidence of a crime. And instead of grabbing all that and saying it's plain sight exception to the warrant, which is something that they deal with in court, at least from what I've seen on Law and Order, at least try to get a judge on the phone going, Your Honor, you're never going to believe this, right? So we're here in Jeffrey Epstein's apartment and we this safe and we look inside and there's all this stuff. But, you know, we're just not sure if the warrant covers it. Can we get an extra special super double secret probation warrant to be able to get all that stuff? Instead of calling a magistrate judge, there's always one on standby. It's New York. It's not like there's not a judge. There's like 1,000 of them. They throw a stone and hit one. I'm exaggerating, but you get the point. Instead, what do? They leave. When do they come back? 4 days later. Guess what's not there 4 days later? I know this is going to shock you. Everything in the safe. It'd be like, again, cop pulls over a car for speeding, looks in the back, sees a dead body, and goes, well, I don't have a warrant. I mean, I guess I could get one, but I was thinking about going on break. Pull over, and I'll give you a ride back into town, and we'll work out this whole warrant thing. I'll come back in a couple days, and we'll deal with it then. Is the body still going to be there. I just don't think that that's the case, because usually criminals kind of cover their tracks when the cops leave. And they don't even post a guy outside the door. If they did, he's the same hospital guard in every movie that is asleep when somebody goes in and kills the person in the room, even though there's a guard posted outside, which is one of the most frustrating things about movies. Isn't that always frustrating? You know what I mean? It's like there's somebody that they really want to kill, and he's in the hospital room, and it's, or maybe it's like, you know, I am Enzo the baker, you know? And then you got to get Michael Corleone to come and get him to drop the flowers and move the bed around because people are coming to kill my father. I'm going off on a tangent. The point is, I think that's what we're going to find out in the Jeffrey Epstein files when all's said and done. I'll be very excited to see that. But you leave the apartment, you have evidence of a crime, you see it, you're the FBI, you go, wow, look at all those pictures of kids, and look at all those binders and documents, what do? Let's leave. They're having a special on falafel down the street. Or maybe it's shawarma. It's like the Avengers 8 at the end of Avengers. They're having a good shawarma, so let's leave. We'll come back. We'll deal with this down the road. Should we lock up? Nah. What's going to happen? Like, somebody's going to come in and break into Jeffrey Epstein's apartment and collect all this evidence implicating him and children and God only knows who else? No. Why would that? They would never do that. So we're good. We'll make a call. We'll call somebody. I mean, the dumbest thing in the world. But you know what really happened that day? What really happened that day is that somebody from the national intelligence community was there to say, see all that stuff there? Yeah. Get out. And then they cleaned up their stuff. What do I know? I mean, I'm not a cop. I wish I had a cop friend who was texting me right now to tell me. I'll read this. Any search warrant I ever did, we always included, quote, any and all items of evidentiary value. That way, if we found unanticipated evidence, we had a right to seize it. Thank you to my friend, Captain John Hoyt, Philadelphia Police Department, who's a big shot deal now with the National FOP, second vice president, by the way. Not those Keystone cops in the FBI. No way. Now, they'll come back in 4 days. What could possibly go wrong? And leave the door open while you're at it. It's not like anyone's going to come and take that stuff. All right. 855-839-1210. Let's welcome back to the show our friend Susan Crabtree, Real Clear Politics investigative journalist, one of the absolute best out there. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
No, it's always a pleasure to have you on. There's a lot going on. I was just talking about Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know if you heard me. Pam Bondi says we got a lot of stuff that could be coming out. Do you think we'll get it?
Well, she had to, you know, have some heads roll this week in order to get what she wanted and was requesting. You know, had this James Dennehy, the New York field office, now former assistant director in charge, ordered to send in his resume on Friday or else be fired. So I guess he had to be forced into retirement in order for this information to come out. You know, I saw ABC News describe him as a very respected FBI boss, agent, longtime career. But in an email to FBI personnel in New York, he was telling that when she was asking for the J6 before, actually, Pam Bondi came in and people were asking for information on anyone involved in the J6 investigations, he was sending notes, emails to his office mates and all the agents and under his direction, saying it's now time for me to dig in. Basically, saying we find ourselves in the middle of a battle of our own, as good people are being walked out of the FBI and others are being targeted. This idea that it was time for me to dig in, his words, not mine. To me, it shows that he was digging in against the new administration and what they were asking him to do. So, therefore, he needed to go. And if he would withheld these Epstein files and was trying to hide them from Pam Bondi, then that's disobeying a direct order.
And why would he be trying to hide the Epstein files, Susan Crabtree? What possible reason could he have?
well, why did, you know, the, why didn't the Biden administration release them? There's got to be some, I mean, we're expecting, maybe we will be all, the whole public, the entire American public will be let down. But these things are a tawdry mess. And, you know, they've already seen some public information come out, the different logs that were, that his contact list. And there were some familiar names on that. Some that you don't want to, you don't want to say just because they were in his little black book of contacts and his Rolodex that they were implicated in any way. But, you know, we have information coming out that these, there was a photo album of called Girl and Epstein that was among the evidence list. And there are hard drives of computers and recording devices. There were, there's just a lot of tawdry information that still has yet to be, that's coming out and is, I feel like the names associated with those, the logs from his island, that, you know, and the flight logs, they can implicate a lot of people. And I think that's why they've been held for so long. Obviously, the Biden administration did not want to release them. And so we're going to see whether this is all a big letdown or there's going to be some real information coming out.
Do you think that there could be merit to the idea that, that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset?
I haven't looked into that personally, so I certainly hope not with the situation that he engaged in with these young girls. And I certainly hope that the CIA and other national intelligence agencies were not aware of that. But if he was, he certainly needs to come out. I mean, that is, that would be a horrible situation that we would have on our hands as an American government. And it's time to clean it up if that's the case. But no, I don't have any insider information on that.
Susan Crabtree, I wanted to ask you, since you wrote the book Fool's Gold about how the left has destroyed California, the recall effort of Karen Bass has begun. Now, I want to highlight Karen Bass and another political loser, Andrew Cuomo. So the Love Gov is now running for mayor of New York City, as you know. Karen Bass, also political failure as mayor of Los Angeles. And now there's a recall effort underway. Gavin Newsom has started his podcast where he's now talking about, you know, trying to be real. And he wants to talk to MAGA people and try to figure things out here and understand. Make some sense of this for us, if you could.
Well, I think the Karen Bass recall is long overdue. As soon as she had that stalemate where she sat there and wouldn't answer the reporter's questions about why she went to Ghana and whether she regrets that while there were wildfire warnings. As soon as that happened, there should have been a recall effort. I think it was just a matter of, you know, people were in chaos with their homes. There were still fires raging for weeks after that moment. So people had to regroup and organize. There's also another recall effort against Gavin Newsom the organizers say that they have the signatures needed to move forward as of last week. You know, this idea that Gavin Newsom can just, you know, reinvent himself on a podcast and be, you know, mix it up with MAGA supporters to me is just one of the biggest jokes. After spending two years investigating the corruption in and around his government, dating back to his days as San Francisco mayor and on the San Francisco, it's the county city council, it's sort of a board of supervisors that he was on. There was so much. I cannot release the revelations yet. The book comes out next week. We're a week out from the book release. But I can tell you there were at least 25 individuals that he appointed to his government that have been sentenced for corruption or ethics violations. So that's just the tip of the iceberg in our book. And the fact that he is trying to reinvent himself when he has doubled down on housing first to try to solve the homelessness crisis. He has blamed everybody but himself, blamed the cities of California, spent $24 billion plus on the homelessness, has pushed back against any effort to crack down on crime. Last year, he spent almost the entire year trying to fight a proposal that would basically stop the grab, the thefts in our all across our retail outlets. And he tried to stop that in the legislature. Mm-hmm. He used poison pills to try to prevent it from getting on the ballot. It did not, it could not be stopped, because even San Francisco is now supportive of getting rid of their lenient prosecutors. As you know, Tessa Bedeen was recalled. They got rid of their mayor. LA got rid of Gascon, who wrote the lenient laws in the first place that takes, you know, the felony theft down to a misdemeanor if it's under $900. That all has gone away. Majority of this state of California passed the Proposition 36, which is a crackdown on those laws that Gavin Newsom first stood for. He was the first elected official to promote Gascon's law on lenient on crime that created the smash and grab phenomena that we've seen so much. So hit this idea that he's like sunny and all about sunny and light. Now he's turning a new page. He's going to reach out to MAGA. To me, it's just, it's beyond laughable. It's extremely offensive.
Yeah.
It's extremely offensive.
It's just, you know, it's funny to me because he's, I mean, like all these politicians who disaster is in around, surrounds them, right? I mean, it just surrounds them, yet they're looked upon by the media as these voices of bipartisanship and reason, and they're just bad at their jobs. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Like, Gavin Newsom is terrible at his job. Karen Bass is terrible at his job. Andrew Cuomo was terrible at his job. So many people died in those nursing homes in New York City, and the guy was never held accountable for them. You could say he was good at his job in the sense that maybe it was all deliberate. I don't know. But they're not effective people. And I know a lot of that's going to come out in your book, Fool's Gold, which is available for pre-order now and comes out next week. So we're excited about that. Let me pivot to this, Susan Crabtree, if I could. Tonight is Trump's joint address to Congress. A lot of people are speculating, could he announce, possibly maybe tonight, at the start of the night, he gets up there at the podium, joint session of Congress there, and announces that Zelensky has begged him like a dog for a peace deal. Is it possible, and again, I'm not asking him necessarily to make a prediction here, but is it possible that, and if it did happen, boy, would that talk about stealing the thunder. The only question I have for you is I won't ask you to make a prediction. It would be this. If Trump were to announce a peace deal tonight, would the Democrats stand and cheer? Would they stay in their seats and not clap?
I think you're going to see. Supposedly, they're going to be on better behavior then. There's not going to be any ripping up of the scripts, right, the text of the speech. That's what we've heard, but they're not going to be cheering. There's going to be, you know, it's going to be somber like it usually is on that side of the aisle. And I would say they're going to be sitting on their hands for sure. Now they've been admonished not to, you know, have these types of protests, outward protests, no yelling at the dais, but, I'm not saying that there's going to be a huge turnaround, and they're definitely going to be somber, and I feel like there'll probably be protests outside of the Capitol having to do with DOGE and USAID and all of the cuts across the federal bureaucracy. So I would expect that.
That would be the moment, right?
Like, it's going to be well received. Certain Democrats aren't even showing up. I think it's Patty Murray, the senator. She's not showing up. So, you know, there are some sour grapes going on. But if he had some wonderful news, I just don't think that they would even clap for it.
Because that would be the scene, right? Susan Crabtree, it's like the president comes out, he goes, all right, I just want to begin the night tonight by saying, Zelensky called, begged like a dog, we've announced this mineral rights deal, we've signed it, I'm announcing an immediate ceasefire with Ukraine and Russia, and then the Democrats all look around like, do I clap for that? Do I not clap for that? Because you would think they would clap for that, but with this current crowd, it's anybody's guess, so we just don't know.
That's for sure. I've been in so many of these. It's so funny to see, you know, both so many State of the Unions I've been inside the chamber for over the course of decades. And so it's fun to be in there where you see the one side of the aisle, you know, cheering, the other side of the aisle sitting with, it's theater. It's just
theater.
And, you know, and Trump is, will, he's a master at this entertainment. He's not going to necessarily even stick to a script. I'm always thinking about his speech writers, wondering if they're just, you know, kind of on edge every time he goes out there and say, I've written my wonderful prose. What's going to happen to my wonderful prose? But it would be nice because there has been so much conflict over the last few weeks with Doge and so many protests, that it would be nice if there was some soaring rhetoric that would get us back to the renewal of sort of a feeling of renewal, of American renewal. And I think that's one of the themes of his speech that we've already know about, that the White House has put out. So, you know, it is a different day in Washington, and certainly a lot of Republicans are embracing that. You have high polling numbers for a lot of the things he's doing, including getting rid of the federal bureaucracy and cutting waste and abuse.
Did you see, I saw my friend Katie Pavlich posted this today on X, the new sign that's in people's yards, which I guess is now the 2025 version of Hate Has No Home Here. It's I stand with federal workers. Did you see this sign?
I haven't seen it.
The lawn signs are out.
Most of them are federal workers. In it's not. You know,
exactly.
I lived in D.C. for 23 years. Both sides. My whole neighborhood was full of federal workers. Of course, they stand with federal workers. They are federal workers, most of them, especially in inside the Beltway. So there's no surprise there because you're in an echo chamber inside the Beltway. People are. When people are losing their jobs, even if they have a RIF notice that gives them time to regroup, they don't understand that people in the private sector face that all the time. So there's a lot of, hue and cry among the Northern Virginia and Southern Maryland voters. We understand that. They're not voting Republican.
For people in Washington to put signs in the yard that said this house supports federal workers is like me putting a sign in my yard saying I support the Zioli family.
Exactly.
Susan, thank
It's redundant.
Order the book Fool's Gold. It is out now. It drops next week, so get your hands on it so it'll be delivered the minute it is officially released. Fool's Gold, the radicals, con artists, and traitors who killed the California dream and now threaten us all. You'll learn exactly why they do threaten us all. It's available, so order it today and follow Susan on X at Susan Crabtree. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Rich. Take care.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so got a lot more to get to. We're just getting warmed up here. We got a lot to talk about, and I'll give you more previews of the president's address tonight. Plus, tell me this. I mean, just try to answer this question for me, and that is that why is it the Democrats are so upset because the president of the United States of America is trying to get Canada to let go of their tariffs against the United States of America? I will explain. Why is little Fidel so fired up today? But first, spring is here, which means summer's right around the corner, which means you should make your plans to stay at my happy place, the beautiful oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You know, I love it there. I really do. I love our live broadcast, and soon we'll be announcing the dates. We're going to do 4 live broadcasts this year, including what could be a Halloween broadcast and a Christmas spectacular. Either way, at the Grand Hotel, they have everything you need there. The staff is wonderful. Hemingway's restaurant, outstanding food, the freshest seafood, fresh steaks, so many wonderful items delivered daily. Really, I mean, like the freshest stuff they get at Hemingway's. It's the standards there are so high. But you know what else really matters at Hemingway's? Free breakfast for the kids when you take advantage of their spring break package, because the kids are going to be bored. What are you going to do with them? So take them to the Grand Hotel. They'll enjoy their beautiful heated indoor pool. And available April 13th through April 24th, if you book 2 nights, you're going to save 5%. Stay 3 or 4 nights, save 10%. and stay five nights or more, you're going to get 15% off regular rates, breakfast included in all packages, and you'll get to use the heated indoor pool, the arcade for the kids, the restaurant's right on property, so you don't have to go very far. And really, by April, the weather in Cape May is wonderful. And the crowds have not arrived yet, so you get to enjoy all the restaurants and take the kids out for ice cream and putt-putt golf, mini golf, all the fun things. Just make your reservation today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And remember, summer's right around the corner. It's never too early to book your stay today and get the best rooms, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now, I know you're thinking about hearing about my foot, but I got my cast today and after the show tonight. As I get ready to watch the president's address, the girls will probably start signing it, decorating it, and there might be unicorns and rainbows and I don't know, whatever Reagan and Claire have in mind, but, you know, we'll just roll with it. It'll be manly, Justin, if I show up for work. Well, not that I show up for work, but, you know, theoretically speaking, with rainbows and unicorns on my cast.
100%, especially if it's if you mention that, yeah, my daughters did that, and shows you right? are both manly and a loving father.
Manly, loving father. Because if I let them at it, there's no stopping them and what they'll do. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, I can't have rule. If they start drawing a unicorn or something like that or putting stickers on, they may just do it when I'm taking a nap on the couch. I may have no say over this. So,
just got to go with the flow.
Just got to go with it, buddy. You know, it's all right. I'm manly enough. The doctor, Dr. Malilly, who's the man, my podiatrist, great guy, terrific guy, saved my foot. He offered me a pink cast. I said, you know, I think I'll pass on that one. I think I'll pass. I'm good.
There's you know? There's levels that we're willing to go to. Letting the kids draw on it, that's fine. Pink, you're pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, if my daughters happen to decorate it and they put a little pink on there, a little pink splash, I can justify that. If I walk into the White House or Fox News with a pink cast on, that's I'm just never going to be invited back. Let's just be honest. So it's not going to happen. So anyway, but will we get the Epstein files? So what do you think, Justin? What's your bet? What do you bet? If you were a betting man,
if I was a betting. I think we'll get them. I don't think it will be in the near future, being the next week or two. But I think late March, early April, I would say there's a pretty decent chance that we get some files, some actual files that we've not seen before.
Late March, early April. Okay, that's interesting. Let's ask people on YouTube, on the YouTube chat, what they think, when they think we'll get some files, and will I be back in studio in person before the Epstein files come out? That's the other question, because we don't know. I could be in this cast for another friggin' 12 weeks. Who knows at this point? But either way, when we get back, I'll play for you what the Attorney General Pam Bondi said. You're going to want to hear this, too. You're going to want to hear this. Plus, Donald Trump is not just changing politics. He's also changing the culture. As a person who loves to watch movies with my 10-year-old son, we particularly like superhero movies, and when Mama Zioli and Papa Zioli were visiting a couple weeks ago, we watched the original Superman with Christopher Reeve. I'm happy to say wokeness is going away. This is part of the Trump effect on America. I'll explain. Plus, little Fidel is having a meltdown over Canadian tariffs, but is this just more of Trump's 4D chess? That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria of VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VenariaDental.com. Will there be a peace deal announcement tonight by President Trump? Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.